Today's daf is Tzadi Beis. We'll pick up from the very last two lines of Tzadi Aleph and Beis, Amar Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says, "Ulekal lo chayshinan." So the whole discussion of Mishnah that we've been talking about, when the husband comes back, originally she was told that her husband died. It turns out he never died. So we have all these knasos that we give to her. She doesn't get the ksuba, ma'is yadeh, various things. So Rav Ashi says, "Ulekal lo chayshinan." If there's simply a rumor that her husband's alive, a kol, but there's no testimony, that's not enough of a reason. We're not concerned to say that her husband's still alive and she gets all the kassel. So you look at the last Rashi on the page, he says, "Ulekal lo chayshinan im nises bebeistin v'achar kach yatsa kol shabai l'chay l'funenu loba." We heard a rumor, so-and-so's alive, but he never actually shows up. That's not enough grounds for us to start implementing all the various penalties. So then the Gemara says, "Hey Kala, what's considered a Kala? What's considered a rumor? Ilema Kala de Basar Nisuin. If it's a Kala that exists after she already gets married to the second person, so Ha'amr Ravashi Chada Zimna. Ravashi already told this halacha once before. Why repeat this halacha yet again? Dama Ravashi. Ravashi tells us, going on to the top of Tzadi Beis, Kol Kala de Basar Nisuin Lo Chashinun. Whenever a rumor comes out after the people have already got married, we start hearing the rumors that the husband's still alive. We already know that klal is now our concern. If you look at Rashi, the top line of Tzadi Beis, kol kal de baser nisun, could go in kohen shenasa isha. Kohen gets married to a woman. Bacharkach yatsa le kol grusho zun. Then after married, there's a kol, such a rumor that his wife is a grusho zona. We're not concerned. They already got married. You can't start creating these rumors after the fact. Now, if the kala, the rumor existed beforehand, so then we're going to be choshesh that maybe she's a grusho in zona. He should stay away. But after the fact, we're not concerned. So why repeat the same halacha here, Rav Ashi? So Gemara says, "Mao the same ahol v'asar lebeidina v'sharinan kikala dekami nesuin dami v'titzar k'mashmalam." So since the rumor made it all the way to Bezin, so if you look at Rashi, it came into us of the Bezin v'sharinan lay. "Hol v'tzrach lavo lebezin latira alma b'chai haba misafkin lay kod minsuin v'hilkach kimish yatsa kol me'osa shah dami k'mashmalam." I thought we were talking about the rumor that the husband's still alive. The way the Gemara and Rashi seems to be saying, it's referring to the initial heter. Let's see. Oh, okay, I see. Interesting. Since we had to go all the way to Bezdin to permit her to get married, it wasn't enough that the Eid Echad said, "By the way, your husband is dead." The Eid Echad had to go to Bezdin. The fact that it had to go to Bezdin, had to go through this formal process, tells us that there already existed a safek. We weren't really sure if he was alive or not. We assumed that he was alive. We assumed he was alive. Then the Eid Echad said, "By the way, we think he's dead." So the Eid Echad is not vade, it's still a safek. So since it's a safek, the very fact that it had to go to Bezdin was megal to us that was a suffix. So when we matted her in the first place to get married to somebody else, it was on basis of a suffix. So therefore, if a kala comes out, maybe that could revert back to the initial suffix of them being of him not really being dead. That's why this is a hot minute to think in this case. Maybe here we should trust the rumor, because again, it was based on a suffix in the first place that we ever allowed her to go to Bezdin. How do we know it was a suffix? The fact that we had to go to Bezdin to be matir tells us that was a suffix in the first place. Kamash Milan, that no, once we permit her to get married, we're not concerned with any rumors. Mar now quotes on the bottom from the Mishnah, Nisseis al pi Bezdin, Teitse. So if Bezdin gave her the right to get married, so that she goes ahead and gets married, and turns out that her husband is alive and comes back, the lach is she's pata from bringing a carbon. She didn't do anything wrong. She listened to exactly what Bezdin told her to do. So, says the Gemara, Amar Ziri. Ziri says, "Lesay lemas nisin." The Mishnah, we don't hold to this Mishnah. Why? It's rejected. Because, Midatani Beit Medrasha, Bryce, we have them based Medrash, Detani Beit Medrasha, Horu Bezdin, Sheshaka Chama. Let's say Bezdin says, "By the way, the sun set, and I guess it's Shabbos now. No one's allowed to do Shabbos. Uvasov Zarcha, in the end, the sun was rising. It was clear. You were able to see it. They made a mistake. Ein zu hara el tas. This is not considered a hara, rather a mistake. Difference from the hara. So what's the signet? What's a hara? So there's a whole masech that's called maseches horios. Horios is based on psukim that's found in the parshas Vayikra. The lach is that Bezdin gives a hara and a yachid goes ahead and acts upon it, he doesn't have to bring a chatas. Normally, when a person violates Shabbos or something with a chiv karis, the shogeg has to bring a chatas. Here, he relied on Bezdin. Bezdin is going to give a horob. But only when Bezdin gives a horob, when Bezdin makes a mistake, they just mitzias, they thought it was the nighttime, but it was actually the daytime, that's not a horob, so that's a mistake. So when it's a mistake, then a yachid has to bring their own karbon. Only when it's a horah, that the horah was mistaken, and they followed the horah, are they exempt from a karbon. But when it wasn't a horah, simply a mistake, then they would have to bring a karbon. So that's the case by the saying the sunset. So here too also, they made a mistake. They made a mistake in the case of the husband dying. If the husband died, that was a mistake, and the husband shows up, they would have to bring a karbon against their mishnah. Our mishnah says they do not have to bring a karbon, she doesn't have to. And the Gemara is telling us she does have to bring a carbon because that's not a horah. Basin just made a mistake on the Metzias. So Rav Nachman Amar horah, no, I disagree. This case of allowing her to get married was actually considered a horah. And if it's considered a horah and she relies on it, she's actually putter from bringing a carbon because it was horah, not a tos. So the Gemara explains a raya. Amar Rav Nachman Teda, I'm going to bring you a raya de horahi. Now this case of our Mishnah that we allowed her to get married when we thought the husband was dead, it was a horah. How do we know this? The Bechola Torah Kula, and the rest of the Torah, Eidecha lo Memen. One Eid is not believed for anything. V'hocha Memen, but here, suddenly, we believe the Eidecha. The Eidecha says that the husband dies. We actually trust him. My time, of what's the reason? La, Mishim Dharahi. Why do we trust him? It must be because not a whole, we don't, there's no Nemanus, there's no Eidus here. Based in made a Hora, it made a Psak that we are going to assume that her husband's dead. It's not based on Nemanus of Eidachad. It's simply based and created something that exists. It's not about they knew or didn't know. They're making a psak. So Rashi just explains, Teda the Horahi, I'm going to bring you right, that it is considered a Horah. Aideh Horas Bezdin. He says she's getting married with the psak of Bezdin. How do we know this? Va'alayhu Atalia, and on them, on the Dayanim, we're relying, V'lo'ai, we're not trusting the Eidachad. In the rest of the Torah, we don't believe in Eidechad, but here suddenly we believe in Eidechad. What's the difference? It must be that the Torah, lo haminu, the Torah doesn't believe the Eid. Veheim haminu, it's based in that Eid, vav dinan apumayu. Since Bezdin went against the Torah, they created a new concept here, and that's considered a Horah. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rava teida detelsi, I'm going to go explain a riot to you, that's the opposite, that this is not a horah, it's a mistake, and since it's a mistake, that the wife would have to bring a carbon, since it's only a mistake, not a horah. What's the raya? Dilu horah bezdin b'chelev uvedam lehetera. Let's say bezdin gives a psak, that a chelev, a certain fat, which is normally usher to be eaten, they say it's mutter. Or a certain dam, which normally is usher to eat, is mutter to eat. They gave a psak incorrectly. But they say it's mutter. Then they said, they looked back into it, they did some research, and they said, you know what? The chalev or the dam is actually going to be usr. Now, kihadri, the vamu lehteru, let's say they want to go back and be matir yet again. Lo mashkachinale, we don't allow them to. It's done. They already get a psak that's mutter. They cannot overturn it and go back to being mutter. But v'iluhacha, here by our case of we're saying the husband died, when one aide says that her husband died, we permit her to get married. Then also tre asarna. But then let's say two aidim say, no, we just saw him, he's actually alive. Then kihadr also aid achrina. Then when another single aide comes to say that he died, sharinale, we can combine the first aide and the last aid achad to can be a total of two aidim. So why is that permitted? Why are you able to overturn it so quickly? My time alav mishum de tosu must be because it was a mistake that the two Edom said that it was Usr. So in the case of a Chelev, when they give a Psak and then they overturn it to say it's actually Usr, then they give another Psak, you can't just overturn that second Psak. It's already been filed away. It's a Horah. When it comes to the case of the husband dying, not dying, so that's you could very easily go back and forth. It all depends on the Metzi. It's not a Horah, and you can't overturn the Horah. It's a mistake. It's about gathering information. One information, one piece of, one fact could say this, and one aid could say this. So you can continuously go back and forth until you clarify all the facts, because a Taos could be easily overturned. And that's the Raya, how this is a Taos, as opposed to the case of Chelev as a Horah. And since we're saying here, Rava says it's a tos, it's a mistake, when she gets married, she's not really relying on Bezdin. It's not a horah that she relies on, and therefore she'd be chayv to bring a karbon. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Af Rabbi Eliezer suffered tato. So even Rabbi Eliezer thinks it was a mistake, that when Basin made this psak, it was a mistake, not a hora. The Tani Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Yikav Adin Es Hahar, a person should fight and, you know, to figure out the psak halacha, uproot the entire mountain and draw a hole for the mountain to find the psak din, to be ma'ayin into it. The Tavi Chatas Shmeina, and he should bring a very fat, fat cow. So, or Chatas. So what's going on here? So Rashi says, Yikav Adin Es Hahar. This line of Rabbi Eliezer is Benisis Al Pi Bezin, it's referring to. When a person gets married on the Psak HaBezin, Lo Amrinan Al Pi Bezin Hu Miftari, El HaHolchan Achar Omek HaDvar. We don't go Bezin. Rather, we look into be Omek, get involved, delve into the facts. Varminan Taosahu Da'id Samech V'Tavi Chatas V'Shreina. So what does it mean, Yikav HaDin, you should investigate? So it says the Gemara now, Iyamis Bishlam HaTaosu Mishim Hachim Masya Karbam. If it's a mistake, and she basically made a mistake, that's why she has to bring a carbon. As we said before, the only time a person is exempt from bringing a carbon if Basin gives a hora. So if Basin gave a hora to get married and then she acted upon that, she shouldn't have to bring a carbon, but she didn't make any mistakes. She just simply did what she had to do and listened to Basin. The fact that Rabbi Eliezer says to bring a carbon tells us that it wasn't a hora, rather it was a mistake that Basin made, and therefore she would have to bring a carbon. But if you're going to say Basin gave a hora, my master carbon, why would she have to bring a carbon? She did what she's supposed to do. She listened to the hora. So Gemara says, Dilma Kasavar Rabbi Eliezer Yachid Sha'asa Behoraz Bezin Chayef. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer holds like the opinion. The Mishnahs in the first pack of Horias talk about all these different cases and different opinions. So we paskin that if a Yachid listens to a Hora of Bezdin, even though it was a mistake, a Yachid doesn't have to bring a carbon. There is a Das Yachid, I believe it's Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda holds, I believe it's him, that if a Yachid listens to Hora, he still has to bring a carbon on his own right. So that's perhaps what Rabbi Eliezer holds. Rabbi Eliezer holds that, no, this is a hora. Ah, so if it's a hora, why does she have to bring a carbon? Because I hold that a yachid in general has to bring a carbon, even though it's a horas bezin, he's still responsible to bring a carbon. So in Cain, if that's the case, we're talking about a hora, my yikva adin sahar. What's that investigation? What's the research? What's the omic that needs to be done? It sounds like from that, as Rashi explained before, that requires research in terms of figuring out the facts, what's going on. And that's only relevant if there was a mistake trying to get to the bottom of things, what the actual facts are. But if it's a psak, a hora, Basin gave a hora already, so what's the further investigation that we're doing? So therefore the Gemara concludes that Rabbi Eliezer is also of the opinion that Basin made a taos and not a hora. And since it's a taos, that's why she would have to bring a carbon if her husband were to show up. Two doubts now. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Haru Bezdin Linase. So let's say Basin gives a psak that she's allowed to get married, but Bahalcha Vakilkala, the Mishnah explains, she goes ahead and is Makalkil. She does something destructive, literally. She's chayv to bring a carbon because Bezdin only gave her psak to get married. So only when you listen to Bezdin and you end up being a mistake are you potter from bringing a carbon according to the Mishnah, because you listen to the Hora of Bezdin. But if she's Makalkil, she's not listening to Bezdin. So the Gemara wants to know, now my kilka, what was the mistake? What was the destructive action that she did? That she has to bring her own carbon now. She doesn't rely on Bezin. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer is Zinsa. She is Mizana with another person. And Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Al Mana Lekoin Gadol, V'Grush Lecholutz Lekoin Hedot. No, she was involved in an Isser. She got married, but she married somebody who was Aser to her. She was an Almana, she can't marry a Kohen Gadol. Or she was also a Grusha, she can't marry a Kohen Hedot. So Man Damer Zinsa, the one who thinks that she's a zinsa, she was mizana rather, she was a zona, and that's the case where she would have to bring a carbon because she went ahead and did something she wasn't supposed to do. So certainly, kavachomer, if she marries someone who's asatur, which is going to be worse than the znus. Znus is bad, but it's even worse than marrying. It's even worse to marry somebody asatur to you. So they would certainly think that case would also be considered a kilkula. But man damer, the one who thinks al manal kohen gadol, kilkel means when you marry someone to usher, so only that case would be usher. If al zinsa lo, but it simply is not, even though it's not a good thing, that would not make her chayv in a carbon if her husband were to show up. My time, why? The amra, asun hu dishavisan panuya. She's going to say to the bezin, listen, you made me a panuya, I'm a single person now. Yes, I wasn't supposed to be Mizana, but there's no malchus given for znus. You don't get malchus for that. So there's nothing, again, it's wrong. But that's not going to, that doesn't bring a, make me chayv a carbon. Okay, so then the Gemara says, Tani Kavasa to Rabbi Yochanan. There's a Bryce that supports the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan That is, Alman Kohen Gadol and Grusha of Chalutz of the Kohen Gadol are the examples of Kilkala. What does the Brisa say? Haru Bezin Linase, Bezin says, okay, we have enough grounds to permit you to get married to somebody else. Your husband most likely died. So Halcha, she goes ahead, Vekilkala, but she does Kilkala. What's Kilkala mean? Kigon, says the Brisa, Alman Kohen Gadol, Grusha of Chalutz of the Kohen Gadol. And if she does it, Chayeves Vekarbona Kolbia Vibia, Divri Rabbi Eliezer. She's chayev in every bia that she has with this Kohen Gadol, she's chayev another carbon. So the example given is a Kohen Gadol to Amanah to Kohen Gadol and Grush v'Chalusa to Kohen Hedu. This supports the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Now the Mishnah continues to say that's all according to Rabbi Elazar that you're chayev al kabia ubia. But Chachamim Omrim carbon echad al hakol. You're chayev just one carbon on all the bias. You're chayev just one. So the Gemara is going to explain. The Gemara increases actually explains why this is. If you look at Rashi, Rashi explains that called Bia Bia, right around where we are in the Gemara, around that line, Kasavar Rabbi Elazar, Elazar holds, why you have it on called Bia Bia? Bias Mechalkos at the time of Maseches Krisos. Maseches Krisos, we're several years away from that, but there are different divisions of what is Mechalik Karbonos. What makes each, so let's say a person violates multiple Melachos on a Shabbos, each Melacha is defined as a separate action, it warrants its own Karbon. Person violates a Chil Shabbos on one Shabbos, and then another Shabbos. Each Shabbos is independent, it's Chayv on each Karbon. The question is, what type of actions, what types of Averos are Chayv independent Karbonos? So Rabbi Elazar thinks that each Maisa Bia warrants its own Maisa Avera, and therefore its own Karbon. But Chachamim argue, and Rashi explains, Karbon al-Achir HaKol, you get one Karbon for all the Maisa Bias that took place. Why, says Rashi? Since he didn't know it was usher in between each ma'isabiyah, so there's a whole discussion whether it's yidios mechalkos, whether it's the knowledge base that if he knew between and then he forgot about the halacha, each yidia is what's needed to separate karbanos, or it's the ma'isa, not the yidia, but the ma'isa, each ma'isabiyah is what creates an individual chiv karbon. That's a big debate that comes up in Krisus, and also the sugya is in Klal Gadol in the seventh parak of Shabbos as well. Then the Gemara says, after presenting that machlokas of Rebbe Elazar Chachamim, whether you chayv one carbon or multiple carbonos on each bia, the Gemara says that Movdim Chachamim le Rebbe Elazar she'im niseis lechamisha b'nei adam, if she were to get married to five individuals at five different times, I assume she gets married, divorced, and then her husband shows up. So then, shechayeves b'karbon al kol echad v'echad. In this instance, Chum would think there would be a carbon in each marriage. Why? Hol v'gufon muchlokin. Gufon is also considered another way to be mechalik karbonos when there are different individuals who are involved in the iser. That would also be grounds to be mechalik between different karbonos. So if sometimes people are mechalik between gufon, some are mechalik between yedios, knowing in between, some are mechalik between ma'isa averes, and some are even mechalik between shemos iser, whether it's different isurim. So let's say a person violates Koter on Shabbos 10 times, Koter, that's all one Shem Isiv Koter. That might be one carbon, according to some. If a person is Koter, then Zerer, then Choresh, since there are three different Shemos Isurim, that might be different carbonos. So there are four different, I think, if I remember correctly, four different ways of being Mechalik of Averos to tell us whether you have multiple carbonos or one carbon for the different actions. Gufun Mechlokin, yeah, Shemos Isurim, Mais Averos, and then Yedios Mechlokim. I think those are the four. Okay, now the new Mishnah tells us. Ha'isha shehalach baila u b'no l'midinas hayam. A woman whose husband and her son went overseas. Ubov amula, and then Adam reported back to her, meis balecha, your husband dies, but she has a son alive still. Achar kach meis bincha, and then afterwards your son dies. So that means, since she had a son, any brother-in-laws that she has, there's no chiv yibam, because she had a son. Later, the son married, a son died, that really doesn't have any impact anymore, because the moment of death, she had a son, so she's mutter to marry anybody she wants without a need for chalitza. So Nisais, she goes ahead and gets married to somebody. Acharkach Amrula, they said, I'm sorry, we made a mistake. It was Chiluf HaDevarim. It was the other way around. First that your son died, and then your husband died, which means you're Zokuk to one of your brother-in-laws, and you were never allowed to get married to this person in the first place. Teitze, she has to get divorced. The Vlad Rishon V'Achman Mamzer. The Vlad of the Rishon Vlad V'Achman is going to be Mamzer. The Rashi tells us that the Gemara is going to explain what it means first and last. But right now, at least we know that most probably the children that she has from this second marriage is going to be mamzerim because she was zakuk already to one of them brother-in-laws since her son died first, and when her husband died, she was childless, so therefore she was zakuk and was not allowed to get married. So those children will be mamzerim from this second marriage. What it means rishon, what it means achron, that the Gemara will explain. Opposite case, amrula meis banecha v'acharkach meis balecha. Let's say they say your son died first, and then your husband died. So she's now a zakuk to her brother-in-laws. V'nisyabba, so she decides to marry one of her brother-in-laws to perform yibum. Acharkach amrula chil v'hayu advarm. They say, I'm sorry, it was the opposite order. Rather, your husband died first, and then your son, you were never motivated to marry your brother-in-laws. There was never a mitzvah yibum there. That was znus. And the halacha is teitza, you have to divorce him because you're not allowed to marry him. It's a brother-in-law. There's no mitzvah yibum at that point because the son was alive when the husband died. And so too, the children from the second marriage with her brother-in-law, since there's no mitzvah yibum, those children are going to be mamzerim. Again, what it means, Rishon v'achron, we'll wait for the Gemara for that.
Do we assume one aid, two aid? We don't know.
It sounds like, two aidim. But the truth is, even the first Mishnah sounded like two aidim as well. It's a good question. Well, it's probably two aidim. Well, it could be two aidim outside Bezdin or one aid within Bezdin. Two aidim are believed on their own. One aid is only believed in Bezdin. So either way, they were saying it was the wrong word. It was true what they said, but just the opposite order. No one's coming to reject them. They're the same ones, I think, who are saying, we just made a mistake how we told you the order of events. So then the Mishnah says, Amru lo meis balecha. They say to her, your husband died. V'nisei, she goes ahead and gets married. V'chakach amru lo kaim, he's actually alive. Oh, yeah, he was alive, I'm sorry. Umeis, but then he died. So when we told you he was dead, he actually wasn't dead yet. But now he actually is dead. So what's the halacha? Teitzei, she has to get divorced because when she married this man, the husband actually was not dead yet. She has to get divorced. Vlad, Rishon Mamzer Achron Eino Mamzer. The child from the first relation, whatever that means, is going to be Mamzer, but the second one will be not Mamzer. Then Amrula, then they said to her, Meis Balecha, your husband died. Miskacha, she goes ahead and gets engaged, not married, but just simply performs Kedushin. Achakach Babaila, Mutaris Lachzolo, her husband shows up to the door. She's allowed to stay married. Afa Pishon Nosan Lachron, fine. She's allowed to stay married because since it was only a Kedushin, she was never mezana with anybody else, so it's mutter the baal. It's only when there's bia do we say asa the baal, asa the baal, that she's asa to her husband. And if there was simply a kedushin, a kess of kedushin was done, that's not going to forbid her to her husband. Even if, let's say, the second husband she supposedly got engaged to but was never effective anyways, even if he gave her a get, she would not be considered grusha, she would not be disqualified from marrying a kohen. As Zu Darish Rabbi Elazar ben Maaseh, this is the drasha he would make. V'isha grusha me'isha v'lo me'isha eino isha. The only time a kohen's asked to marry a grusha is when the woman got divorced from her husband. This second guy wasn't her husband, so any document he gave her was simply a document. It wasn't a get, even though it's the words of a get. It wasn't a get because they were never married. So that's why she'd be permitted to stay married to her husband, even if he were to be a kohen, and if she were to get remarried to anybody else, if her husband were to die, she would be allowed to marry somebody, a kohen, because she's not considered a grusha. So that's the few different, four different cases of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, my Rishon and my Achron. What does it mean? We said before in the Mishnah, three different cases, that the first and the second are mamzer, the first and second are mamzer, and the first are mamzer, the second are not mamzer. So what does Rishon and Achron actually mean? See, Lame, if you're going to tell me that Rishon lifnei Shmua, Vachon lacha Shmua, Rishon refers to that before they heard the Shmua, any child born then is going to be Mamzer. And let's say after they heard that her husband was, before the Shmua, she simply got married before she heard the status of her husband. Her husband goes overseas, and she marries another man, and she has children. Then she hears a report that her husband died. And then she, stays married. And then she finds out that it was opposite order. The son died first, and then the husband, whatever the order might be. If Rishon means before she heard the Shmua, and Achron means after they hear the Shmua, both those cases are going to be considered Mamzerim. What's the difference, Rishon or Achron? Who cares if you heard it before the Shmua, after the Shmua? She was not permitted to marry her husband because the order was incorrect. It was the son died first, and then the husband, or the husband, then the son. And the Gemara says, if that were to be the case, listen, Havlad Mamzer. Just simply say Havlad Mamzer. There's no reason to distinguish between Rishon and Achron. Again, she initially got married before even hearing anything about her husband, which of course is Asr. Of course those children are Mamzer. Then she hears that her son died. Then her husband dies. So then she performs Zibum with her brother-in-law. And then it turns out that her husband died, then her son. Those children from the brother are going to be Mamzerim. Why do you have to distinction between Rishon and Achron? They're both going to be Mamzerim. So the Gemara says, the reason being is, the Kavai, the Misnei Seifa. Because in the Seifa, we had to make a distinction between the Rishon and Achron, which is what? Amrula meis balecha, they say to her, your husband died, and they say she goes ahead and gets married. But then they say he's actually alive. But now he died. In this case, Harishon Mamzer Achron Eino Mamzer. The children that happened before she heard about the rumor, and then the children that happened before she died, he died, then those are Mamzerim. But Ha'achron, the children that were born after he actually died, Eino Mamzer. Since there's such a distinction in the Seifa, says the Gemara, Tana Nami Reisha Rishon V'Achron Mamzer, because as we said many times, the Mishnahs like to be very consistent in the language, in the presentations, helps memorized better. So you're right, there's no Rishon Achron that's necessary in the first case, but in the last case, since there is, they want it to be consistent of Rishon and Achron. Gemara now says in the bottom, Tana Rabbanon Zu Divrei Rabbi Akiva, all that which we said right now, this whole Mishnah was all according to only Rabbi Akiva. Shehaya Omer Ein Kedushin Tofsin B'Chayev Ilavin. He holds that Kedushin is not Tofes by Chayev Ilavin. And therefore what? These children will be considered mamzerim. Aval, right? Aval chachamim omrim ain mamzer mi yavama. But he thinks that there is no mamzer by yavama. So Rashi explains what's the case of yavama. The first Rashi on this Gemara. Ain mamzer mi yavama shenisei shlashuk b'lo chalita ho v'lesa aleha ela b'lav. So let's say she's zakuk to one of her brother-in-laws, and she doesn't get chalita and goes ahead and gets married to somebody else, that child will not be considered a mamzer because the iser to be with somebody else is only a lav. So, again, one of the cases of the Mishnah was she was told her husband died first and then her son. And since when her husband died, she had a child, she was not zakuk to her brother-in-law's, and she went ahead and got married. Adam came back and said it was the wrong order. Your son died first, and then your husband died, that means you're zakuk to a brother-in-law, yavam. You're not allowed to marry this other man until you get a chalitza from this brother-in-law. So she did it anyway. She didn't know. She made a mistake. She was told the wrong things. But the children from the person she married not considered a mamzer because her attachment to the yavam was only a lav. And if attachment to a lav, when a person is attached to a yavam, it's only a lav to marry somebody else. Since it's only a lav to marry somebody else, that will not generate a mamzer. Chacham hold, only when there's a chiv karis and mises bezdin will that generate mamzerim. But if it's allowed to be somebody else, that won't generate a mamzerim. Only Rabbi Kiva holds that way. So Rabbi Kiva is the author of our Mishnah. But according to the Chacham who argued in Rabbi Kiva that a chivei lavim will not be generate mamzerim, that is not consistent with our Mishnah. So the Gemara says now, v'leima ein mamzer mechayvei lavim. So why not just say there's no mamzerim from chayvei lavim, meaning what? Say that where? Okay, that's the case. They're bothered by the way they presented Chachamim's opinion. Chachamim was presented as Ein Mamzer Mivama. That's very acute case. Why not be more general and say, Ein Mamzer Mechayvei Lavin? More generally speaking, Lavin can never generate Mamzer. Why very specific to Ein Mamzer Miyuvama? This is a very specific case. So the Gemara said, because Hai Taina, this opinion of Chachamim, is Tana the Rabbi Kiva. It's a Tana that argues Rabbi Kiva, not the Chacham as we know them generally. It's a Tana the Rabbi Kiva who Da'amar Mechayvei Lavin Desher Havi Mamzer. Mechayvei Lavin Gredi Lo Havi Mamzer. No. We're still in the world of Lavin. This Chachamim is not the Chachamim that hold Chayv Krisos or Mechayv Bezin, Chayv create Mamzerim. No, I agree that Rabbi Kiva, the Chayv Lavin do create Mamzerim. But not all chayvei lavin, only specific ones. Only specific ones that relate to she'er, to relationships. But ones that are simply a lav ba'alma, that won't generate a mamzer. So Rashi explains what are the examples here. So Rashi ha'itana, the chachamim omrim, ein mamzer miyavama, says Rashi, alma svilhu, diyesh chayvei lavin sholim mamzer mehen. That sound like there are other chayvei lavin who chacham think can create mamzerim. Only this specific case cannot. Tana de Rebbe Kiva. This is a Tana of the base medrash Rebbe Kiva. Dika Tana de Beperek Hacholitz. We saw this earlier in the Masechta. Ali de Rebbe Kiva. Damar Yesh Mamzer Mechayvi Lavin. The Sher de Machmas Korba. When there's a lav that has what to do with a relationship, could go Nanusas Aviv. The person, his father had raped a woman. That Nanusas Aviv is going to be usher to his children. That's a She'er. That's a lav of a She'er. That Rabbi Kihuda damar koy ala blav beperak nose v'kugon nose es achalutasa de koy ala blav yevena blav de korva hu havi mamzer. These are lavim of korva, but mechayvi lavim graded just lavim alone, which is kugon yivama l'shuk v'domla, marrying a person to the shuk, even though she's attached to another a yavam, marrying to the shuk would only be a lav. The lav to that other person from the shuk is not a lav of korva. They're not related to each other at all. That's stam lav. A stam lav, according to his opinion, will not create a mamzer. And that's the opinion here of this price. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, going on to the Tzadik Beis and Beis now, Minayin Shein Kedushin Tofsin B'Yivama. How do we know that Kedushin won't be Chal on Yivama? Shenemar, the Pasuk says, I guess if Yivama attempts to marry, she's connected to a Yavam, she attempts to marry someone Lushuk, how do we know that it won't be Chal? I think that's what it's talking about. Okay, so Shinema, the Pasuk says, Lo siya eishes hameis hachutza lish zar. So she should not be the wife of the mace, hachutza lisha, she should not be to another man. Because we're talking about this stage in the Pesukim where she's still attached, she's still a zika to the brother-in-law. So what do you mean, lo siya? It says, the Gemara, lo siya ba havaya lazar, sehei, havaya is always a lashon of kedushin we find. Yatzav Haisa, the Gemara says the hekesh between, Gzer Shava rather, between Yatzav Gerush and Havaya is Haisa's Kedushin. Lo says Lashon Kedushin, there is no Kedushin for a woman who's attached to the brother-in-law, to an Ishzar, to a man from the Shuk. That's the opinion of Rav. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says back that Bani Yusenu Tzricha Get. So I'm not so sure. Rashi writes, "Mitoch anius," because of humility, "Daitenu," because of the humility of our mind or the weakness of our mind. Shein anu yodim peshem mika. I don't really know the pasuk. I don't know if it's really true. Maybe it really is chal kedushin. So therefore, misafek you should require a get. He says, "Shmuel Amar bian yusenu tzricha get get." Why? Because misafek leg the Shmuel. Shmuel was unclear. Hi lo se aishes ames. This lashon e lalav hudasa, if it really means a lav like Rav thought it did, and therefore it wouldn't be chal the kedushin, or sorry, if it means simply a lav, but it would be a tofish kedushin, or e the low topsim kedushin hudasa, or does it mean that it shouldn't be chal? Lo siya could mean there's an iser to do kedushin, but kedushin's chal, or can mean that there is no kedushin to be chal at all. So Shmuel wasn't sure. Maybe the kedushin really is chal, even though it's an iser, and you should require get me suffix. So if she goes ahead, a woman who's yivama and who's zakuk Le Yavam, and she goes ahead and marries somebody else, Shmuel requires a get as a suffix. Maybe there is a Kedushin Ischal. Then the Gemara says, Amr le Rav, Meri bar Rachel le Ravashi, Hach Yamar Amemar. Amemar says, Hilchsa kivasa de Shmuel, we should pass like Shmuel, which means in such a case, you should require a get for this woman. Then the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Ashi hashted Amar Amemar Hilchas Akvasa Dishmuel." Now that we've established, we pass like Shmuel that one would need to get in this case. Im Haya Yivama Kohen, if her Yavam Yivama meaning not Yivama Yivam Shela, her Yavam is a Kohen, the Yavam of the brother-in-law is a Kohen. Choletzla Vishayela, so he would have to perform a chalitza to her, and then that she'd be married to. Then she'd be permitted to get married. Somebody else, right? I guess it's talking about in this instance. In this case, Okay, this is going back on the case of the aid, it's, I'm being told here. Does Rashi say all this? Look at Rashi, I guess. Rashi, three lines from the top, he says, Im haya yivama kohen. If her brother-in-law was a kohen, v'zu nisayis l'shuk be'ed echer. So this addresses your question, o b'shnei eidim shamula. So one aid comes, or two eidim come along and said, your husband dies. She goes ahead and gets married, because they told her, meis balecha, v'charkach meis bincha. First your husband died, then your brother, then your son died, rather, and there's never a chiv yibam. Vamar Shmuel by get. Shmuel says there's a get in the situation where they came back and said, I'm sorry, it was the other way around. First your child died, your son died, and then your husband died. So in this case, she got married to somebody else. So according to Rav would say, okay, the condition wasn't chal. You tried to get married to somebody else, the condition wasn't chal. There's no need for get from that second marriage. Shmuel thinks, no, it's possible. The possible could be interpreted to say that. There's an issue to get married to somebody else, but if one were to get married, it would be chal, and he requires a get. V'chev and Rashi explains the Yav La Gita, since he gives her a get, this other man who she married from the Shuk, Mifsala Ahayavam, Shukai Mushum Grusha. So now she received the get and she's a Grusha. And if she's a Grusha, she can't perform Yibam with her brother-in-law who's a Kohen. A Kohen can't marry or even do Yibam to Grusha. So then he has to do Chilitzat her to permit her to get married. That's how we explain that. That's what we deduce from the opinion of Shmuel. So Gemara says, is gar, so is the lashon of schar, getting schar, is gure is gar, imke matzino chote niskar. Are you rewarding them? It turns out that the person who sinned is going to get rewarded. Why? What's happening is, she made a mistake and she went ahead and get married. Okay, you're right, she got Adam and they told her, but in the end, it was a chet. So she goes ahead and marries somebody else. And Shmuel says, okay, all you need is a chalitza from the Kohen and she could get married to that other second husband. So you're rewarding her for doing something incorrect. She should be usher to stay married to that person. That seems to be incorrect. So the Gemara says, Ella, im haya yivama yisrael, nosin la sheni get v'huchalo. We're saying no, so I guess in essence we're saying that in Echlami she's not allowed to get married to the person, the person from the Shuk. Okay, I guess that would be the conclusion that in the case of in this case that she would not be able to get married to that second guy. But why? How's it different from this next case? The next case is if her yavam was Yisrael. She goes ahead and gets married to somebody else, and then she's told, no, I'm sorry, you have a zika to your brother-in-law. No sin la sheni get huchalo. The second guy has to give her a get, and she's permitted to perform yibum. I see, okay. Right, so this case, you're permitted to perform yibum. We're not rewarding her because we're not allowing her to be with her second husband. But instead, we're performing Yibam to the first husband. But what happens if that husband decides, Yibam, this is, I don't want to do Yibam, I want to do Chalitza. Is she then allowed to go ahead and marry the second husband again? It sounds like the previous case by the Kohen, where the Kohen's not allowed to marry her because she's a Grusha. If the Yibam was a Kohen, we don't allow her to stay married to that second husband. I guess here too, also, we would not allow her to get married, stay married to the second husband.
I don't know if the order is intentional, but it says that according to Ravashi, he ruled that if the Yavam was not a Kohen, she obtains a get from her second husband first, and then it's permitted to go to have Ibun with the Yavam.
And what would the halacha be if they would have Chalitza, let's say?
I guess that's the question. Does she still have to get the get first? And then it's up to the oven to decide what to do.
Right, that's what it sounds
and
like.
He has options.
Right. You can't. We don't force Yibam. We never force. So it sounds like, let's say he did Chalitza. So it might be we wouldn't let her, even though she's really in theory mutter to marry anybody, maybe based on the previous discussion, we wouldn't let her to get married to that first, the second husband rather, because since that would be a case of Chote Niskar. Or unless we're saying, no, maybe they can. The case of the Kohen, we said not by the Kohen, because the Kohen doesn't have the option Yibam. It's only Chalitza. So in essence, we're allowing them proactively to stay married. By the case of Yisrael, they could perform Yibam or Chalitza. If he decides to do Chalitza, so then we allow her to get married to that second husband.
Which would be a remarriage.
which would be a remarriage, I guess, right? But we wouldn't be like encouraging that. We'd be encouraging the Yibum. Now, if they decide they opt out of the Yibum, so then it would be. But in the case of the Kohen, since Yibum is not an option because now that she's a Grusha, so in essence we're encouraging that that second relationship, which would be a problem of Chote Nischar. I'm just thinking aloud. I don't know. I'll take a quick look in the back. So that's a discussion, a long discussion here. Okay, there's what to speak about here. Okay, a lot, actually. Yeah, I think that might be the part of Tosfos in the bottom here also, this bottom Tosfos. Okay. The Gemara now says in the middle of the page, Amar Rav Gidel, Amar Rav Chia, Bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yivama Kedushin Ein Ba, Nisuin Yeshba. A Yavama has Kedushin, but she has no Nisuin. What's this case talking about? So Rashi explains Nisuin Yeshba. This other way around. It's to be, yeah. No, Yavama Kedushin Ema Nisuin Yeshba. So what does that mean? Rashi says Nisuin Yeshba, Kasaka Daitach Leinin Get. Dim Nises Lazar, Shamula Meis Balech Vachakach Bincha Tzucha Get. Situation where the Edom told her, your husband died, and then afterwards your son died. So at that stage, she thought she's mutter to marry the shuk, since when her husband died, she had a son, there's no zika to the yavam. She goes ahead and gets married. And then she's told it was the other way around, the son died first, and then the husband died. So then, in this context, we're saying, kedushin ein ba, nisuin yesh ba. What does that mean? So it's some a get, whether you need a get or not a get. If, let's say, the Yavama, she got engaged only to a Zar from the Shuk, then there's no need for a get. It was only Kedushin, fine, just walk away. But if she got married to someone from the Shuk, and then she finds out that she's actually Zika, Zakuk to her brother-in-law, then they would require a get in this case. It's like Mara says, wait a second. Eat Kedushin ain't ba, the Sun Namin ba. If by Kedushin we don't require a get, so Nisuin shouldn't require a get either. They should be habahatai. They should be connected to each other. Because if a kedushin is not chal, that means Nisuin is not chal either. You can't have a Nisuin without kedushin. And e kedushin, if you're going to say, right, again, e kedushin ba, Nisuin nam ba. Ema Gemara would rather say kedushin and Nisuin ba. You're right. By both the kedushin and the Nisuin, there is no need for a get. In either case, there's no need for a get. Now this goes against what we said before. Before we said, right before, we said in the Gemara that the case when they get married to somebody else, the second person, you do require a get from that second person. This stage, the Gemara seems to go against that. So the Gemara says, that's one answer. He by saying alternatively, my nisun, yeshba, wasn't mean nisun, biznus, with respect to his nus, kidirav hamnuna, damar hamnuna, shomeris yavam, shizinsa suli yavama. Talking about znus, that it doesn't really mean nisun, she doesn't get married to somebody else. But if a yavama, who's zakuk to Yavam, she's Shomeris Yavam, she's Mizana, she's also now to be with the Yavam. That's what's referring to. Not referring to a get. If she was Mizana, it's also. So look at Rashi. Rashi explains Biznus. To have a kiznus, it's like Znus. No, she actually got married, but we view it as Znus since she never had the heta to get married in the first place. It's as if it's Znus. Umitsara a Yavam Kravamnuna, she then becomes also to the Yavam. Rav Ashi Damar Leil Nosin Lashne Get, Shani Get, Hutrilo Les Le Rav Hamnuna. Right, we said above, Rav Ashi argues in Rav Hamnuna, but in the world of Rav Hamnuna at least, that once she's Mizana, she becomes Aser to the Yavam, and there's no need for a get, I guess. Maybe, yeah, I'm not sure. She ends up becoming Aser to the Yavam. That's what comes out. She's Aser to the Yavam, as opposed to Rav Ashi before, says, no. Get the get from the second person and your mutter to go back to the Yavam. So Rav Hamnuna says differently there than Rav Ashi. Then the Gemara says, Yibai Seima, another way to explain this very cryptic line, Yibai Seima, Liolam Kidda Amran Mikar. Really what we said before, that Kedushin Ein Bav Nisun Yeshba. How's it possible? If Kedushin doesn't require get, Nisuin does require a get. If there's never a kedushin, so there's not a nisuin either. So he explains, "Dimechalfa beisha shahalach baila lebedinas hayam." What does this mean? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi explains, "Kedamin meikara nisuin yesh balin and get regarding get v'lav mishum to kedushin inu." Not because of kedushin, ela mishum to im afkasla below get asid lemeimar nami beisha shahalach baila lebedinas hayam v'nisus api bezin beirachad teisa below get. Because what's going to happen is they're going to see these people got married. Now, even though the marriage was never chal, you still require a get. There's no need for a get halachically. But if you don't require a get, you let them just walk away from this marriage, it's going to create a lot of other issues by other instances where there was a real marriage, and you're going to think, oh, they're true also, you probably don't require a get, and it's going to create a lot of issues. So for that reason, we said, even though really you don't require a get, because of the confusion, it's going to get confused with other situations, we require a get in this case also, just to be safe. So I'm a Rabbi Yanai bechabura, in a group of people, nimnu v'gamru, they got together and they decided the following: ein kedushin tofsin biyivama. When it comes to yivama, there's no kedushin that's going to be chal. So and what Rashi explains, nimnu v'gamru di darshin and lo siya lo se b'havaya. It's not tofes, like Rav said initially. We have machlokes before how to interpret the words lo siya. Rav, lo siya eishes hames. Rav thought it meant this kedushin isn't tofes. Shmuel said, I'm not sure. Maybe it isn't tofes, or maybe it's just aser, but it is tofes. They got together, they wanted to know what's the psak, and decided, like Rav, that there is no kedushin ischal. No kedushin ischal by this case. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rebbe, lo mishnah seina huzu. Why do you have to get together and create this psak? This is my first mishnah that tells us the same halakha, that kedushin isn't chal by yevama. The Mishnah tells us, the Mishnah in a few places, I guess, I'm not sure where the original Mishnah is. Ha'omer le'isha hariat mekudeshes li la'acher she'es gayer. It must be a Mishnah kedushin, I think. Yeah. So, if a person says to his to a woman, be engaged to me after I get converted, or la'acher she'es gayri, or after you get converted, or the achashish tachrer, until I get freed. I'm an Eved Kenani. Let's get married, and once I get freed, it will be retroactive, the marriage will be chal. Or lacher shetishchari, or after your shifcha kananis, after you get freed, the marriage will be chal. Or lacher shiyamasa balacha, I know you're married now, but your husband's going to die soon, so let's get married after he dies. Or lacher shetamos achosecha, or now I'm married to your sister right now, and we can't get married. So after my wife, who's your sister, dies, then we could get married. Let's get married now, on condition that's going to be chal later on. And right now you're Shemeris Yavam. So when he performs Chalitza, let's get married. But they're doing the Maisa Kedusha now on the hope, so on the wait that the condition will be met. All those cases ain't a Mekudeshes. So you see from here, that's not going to be Chal. So so one of the things listed here is Sheyachlus Lo Yivam Techa. So why is that not Chal? If we paskin, so clearly here that it, kedushin is not chal. When a woman attempts to get married to someone from the shuk, when she's already attached, she's already shemes yavam, it's not going to be kedushin, says the Mefurish Mishnah. So why do you have to have a nimu v'gamu? We're going to paskin like Rav, that the interpretation of the pasuk of lo siya eishes ames means that kedushin is not chal. The Mishnah and kedushin right tells us that's not chal. Samulei, so the response back is, ilav didalilcha chaspa, mi mishkachas, Margarnisa Tuse. So I think what it's saying is, if you didn't draw low in the chaspa and the earthenware of the garbage or the junk, who would find such a pearl below this? Is that correct somewhat?
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. So let's see. Rashi says, Mi Mishkachas Margarnisa, Ilav Damilcha, Lohave Masuk. Had you not said this, if we didn't say to you, I guess, if they didn't say to you, the time of Mishum Dilotafsi Bekedushin Hashtahu. You wouldn't have concluded, says Rashi, the reason behind this is based in Kedushin. El, you would have thought, Ein Makna Davashalo Baliolam, Afili Yeshbiya the Lassos Achshav. The reason the Mishnah could have been interpreted another way. You would have, had we asked you last week what the reason for this Mishnah was, why you can't get married to a person who's still Shomer Yavam, because it's davar shelo bali olam, she's not yet mutter to a person, it hasn't existed. Just like a person who's not converted yet, a person who's not freed yet, is davar shelo bali olam, hasn't come to the world yet. You can't be machna, you can't acquire something that hasn't come to the world. You would imagine the same thing by chalitza, since that chalitza didn't happen yet, it's davar shelo bali olam, it's not going to be chal because it hasn't come to the world. It's only because we had such a discussion with the Rav and Shmuel that we're talking about a different the world of, you became more sensitive to the world of Kedushin Minchal for Yevama, that made the light click on, and I said, oh, that's Pshat in the Mishnah. So you didn't know Pshat in the Mishnah until we said the Nimru V'Gamru. So it sounds like a different concept. I think I once heard a name of Rabbi Kiva. A person's Mechadish is Big Din, and he turns out he's Mechavin to another big Rishon, a Tosfos, or it could be a big Achron. So he's so proud of himself. I'm Mechavin to the Rabbi Kiva Eger. So I said, don't be so proud of yourself. The only reason why you thought of it is because they put it in the world. The fact that Tosfos made the question in the world, the fact that the Rabbi Kiva was Mechadish is Din, that concept exists in the world. Ah, you never heard of it before. But once that the Chacham was in the world, it makes it much more accessible than before him. So similar idea, since we put this in your mind, we started talking about this concept of Yevama marrying somebody else, you were sensitive to this idea, so you're able to interpret this mission now. But only because we made you sensitive to this, don't be such a big shot, is what it seems like to me, what they're trying to say. And then the Gemara says, Amar Le Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish says, Ilab de Kalsa, Gav Rabba Hava Minilcha, Anamas Nisan, Rabbi Kivahi. So Reish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, so, apparently Rabbi Yannai, I'm told here, Rabbi Yannai, I guess, once praised Rabbi Yochanan such a Adam Gadol. This is Rabbi Yannai himself. Yeah. Rabbi Yannai is speaking here, I missed that.
The last sentence
uh-huh.
was the praise to Rabbi Yochanan.
Okay, so this praise to Rabbi Yochanan, he loved the Kalsuch of the Gavir Rabbi, have we not praised you, such a Adam Gadol? I would have said to you, I would have interpreted this Mishnah as, why is the Kedushin Achal when Yevama attempts to get married to somebody else? Because Rabbi Kiva authored the Mishnah. Nothing to do with the general low Tofsik Kedushin. It was specifically Rabbi Kiva. That's why I would have interpreted it before. But now that they're praising Rabbi Yochanan as such a great individual, I'm going to go with your pshat that the reason why the Kedushin is a chal, not because of Rabbi Kiva, because the Pasuk says, Lo siyeh eishes hameis, that Yevama can never get married to somebody else until she's released from her bond from the other brother-in-laws. So the Gemara says now, let's see, maybe we should stop here. It seems like this is going to continue into the next staff. Yes, I think let's stop here. I'll pick this up tomorrow. The Gemara is going to pick up from Reish Lakish, but I think, again, it does go well into the next stuff. So, okay, so have a very nice day.